This should be homecoming week for some 100 Iraqi immigrants who've been detained by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement since summer of 2017. Federal Judge Mark Goldsmith has ordered ICE to let them go by tomorrow, December 20th. And then he tore into the government, saying it made false statements to justify keeping the Iraqis locked up indefinitely. Usama Hamama of West Bloomfield is known to all as Sam. He was taken in that nationwide mass roundup of some 1,400 people, and then he was released last February after posting bond. He's the lead plaintiff in the case that led to Judge Goldsmith's order, and he is with us now. Sam, you came to this country when you were how old?
I was 4 years old when I came to the country, 1966.
What reason did ICE give you when you were detained and they tried to send you back to Iraq?
I had an order of deportation and that I must leave this country.
And why was that?
In 1986, I committed a crime which was basically scaring someone with a gun. And I did 2 years for it. And I never complained about that because I thought that was wrong, what I did. And I served my time. I came out. I've been left alone ever since. Till 2014, they came knocking at my door one day and took me away downtown and fingerprinted me and let me go. And the next time I saw them, well, I reported every year. But in between that, they picked me up on June 11th, 2017.
And you were detained for 8 months. Where were you detained, Sam?
I was detained at St. Clair County Jail.
And what were the conditions like?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I was next to a rapist. I was next to a murderer, child molesters, all kinds of people. And I just, you know, like I said, in my 2 years of doing time, I did not complain. But this was I could not understand why I had to be detained with people of sort next to me, sleeping next to me for 8 months and having to deal with their issues. And, you know, I really felt unsafe and uncomfortable to be in a place like that.
Were you able to see your family? Were you able to be in touch with lawyers?
Lawyers were available whenever they wanted to come and see me. That was not a problem. My family was, you get a half hour a week, per week, 1/2 hour behind a glass that's about 6 inches thick, basically. And you spoke through the glass, and you pretty much read lips is what you did, because there was no communication line between that glass. Literally just you wave or you scream real loud so they can hear you or you can hear them. That was just half hour every week. That's it.
Now, how did that time that you were away, that 8 months, how did that affect your wife and your four children?
You know, let me be honest with you. Every child needs a father and a mother. This is just a simple thing. Every person, every son, every daughter needs a father and a mother. And for 8 months there, my wife was the mom and the dad. And knowing where their dad was, it just did not, they couldn't understand why. You know, it's okay if I was dead. It's okay if I was sick and in a hospital, but being in jail and walking around knowing that, I don't know how they left a smile on their face, but they did their best. And it was really gut-wrenching when you hear that your son says, I don't know how we're going to make money, so I'm going to drop out of high school to go get a job to help my mom pay the bills. That just tore me apart as the breadwinner of the house. I am. That's who brings the check in.
And meantime, as that's going on, there's the threat of being deported to Iraq. What do you think would have happened to you if that had happened and you had been sent back to Iraq?
The way the system works there is when if you come into a country and they don't know who you are, they will, you know, incarcerate you right away. They will not just let you go out into the public because their fear is you could be an American. You're also a Christian. That's not really welcomed in that country because they look down on Christianity. I could have been jailed for life. I could have been probably just killed and thrown on the side of the road somewhere because of the fact that no one is going to ask any questions about this Christian being dead. So it could have been anybody's. I could have been anybody's target. Anyone that wanted to hurt me, maybe take me for ransom, put me in prison somewhere. The possibilities were endless, to be honest with you.
If you just joined us, we are talking with Sam Hamama, who was one of the hundreds of Iraqi immigrants who were detained by ICE in the summer of 2017. Sam, you got out in February. How did that happen? How were you able to get released?
Judge Goldsmith granted us bond, and I was one of the lucky ones to get bond because I was not a threat. I was a threat, but the judge looked at it different. He thought I wasn't a threat because for 30 years I haven't done anything wrong, 34 years basically. And I had some ties in the community, strong ties, wife, kids, owned a house. I have a job to go to. So those are some of the things they looked at. And then they gave me $100,000 bond. So I was a lucky one. I was one of the lucky ones that came out.
And what happened with your job?
Well, to be honest with you, I had a job. I have a job. I do. I went back, right, resumed my job the next day, literally. I took a day off, and then from there I started again. I thank these people that I work with, and they kept my job going. Actually, one of my partners that works with me, literally did double shift every day for 8 months till I finally got back. He would not accept any help from anybody. He worked hard day and night just to keep my position open, never asked for help, and that's how I kept my job, basically.
And Sam, since you got out in February and you were able to make bond, have you been able to make your case in immigration court? Where does it stand for you?
So a couple of days ago, about a week ago, I was in immigration court in front of Judge Peru, and they gave me a court date of 2020, January 14th, 2020. They're going to hear my 212C, which, again, I'm lucky to be able to get that granted by the government so that I can, you know, let them hear my case, show them that I've only made one mistake in my life, and to hopefully give me a second chance. So January 14th, 2020. I go back in front of the judge.
And what is a 212C?
It's basically someone that's committed a crime before 1996 and only committed one crime in their life. And they will let you apply for it and let a judge hear it, and the judge will decide. Nothing is in stone. I'm not saying that it's going to happen 100%, but I'm saying I have a very good chance of staying in this country.
Sam, what have you been hearing from the others who did not get out when you got out in February, the others who've been held?
Hardship on their families, very, very hardship. People have lost their homes, businesses. Wives have decided, you know, if this is what I have to do, then I'm going to move to another state or go to my family, or, you know, cannot keep up everyday living. Their life has been torn apart. You know, kids quit college, you know, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, not knowing if their dad is going to stay in this country or going to end up staying here. It really puts a mental anguish on you. I'll tell you this, I still have mental anguish. I cannot walk out at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work without looking all around to see if anybody's waiting for me outside. And I can only feel their pain because I've been through it. And I kid you not, there's going to be a lot of people that need help when this is all over.
Are people being released as per Judge Goldsmith's order? Are you hearing from people that are getting out?
Yes. I've been hearing that people have been coming out. You see it on social media, people coming home. You see a little girl grabbing her dad and hugging him and kissing him, not believing. I'm talking about a four-year-old that hasn't seen her dad in 18 months, hugging him and kissing him and cannot believe that's her dad. She grabbed him. She would not let him go anymore. She just literally just hung on to him. And it just breaks your heart to see stuff like that. And you know what? We all make mistakes. We've all made mistakes, all of us that they picked up. But I think we truly, in this country, we deserve a second chance. And this is the country to give it to us. There is no better country than this country. I would not dream of being anywhere in the world but this place. This is all I know. This is my heart. This is my life. My family is here. I brought kids into this country. I want to be a part of this country. I just need a second chance to show the American people that, yes, you make a mistake, but yes, you can change. You really can change.
Sam, I said it rounded you up and the others and wanted to deport you because of, as you say, crimes, some of them going back decades, or people overstaying their visas. And there are people listening to us talk right now who are saying, well, hey, they broke the law, so they should be deported. What do you say to them, Sam?
You know, I can't speak about every case, but I can tell you that, you know, we're a nation of hope. We're a nation of forgiveness. We take care of the world. You know, you're taking someone that's a Christian and you're going to take him to a country that he is not wanted. He actually fled that country. The reason they came without a visa is because they begged God to get him into this country, and finally somehow they got in here. If that's a crime to try to save your family, if it's a crime to take care of your kids, to make sure they have a better life, then so be it. Let it be a crime. But the crime is so minimal. They didn't hurt anybody. They just came into this country to try to refuge, to try to make sure that they can get a better life, you know, and bring their kids up in a country where they know it's good and safe. And Christians are wanted in this country. We're not looked down on. We are one of the good people in this country, you know, whether it be Jewish, Christian, Protestant, all these people are welcome in this country, and we're part of it. We just want to be a part of this country. Give us a second chance.
Sam Hamama, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.